Bhagavan, you are the phone.
Which phone?
The phone.
Yeah, the iPhone.
No, the other.
What happened?
Big one. Big one.
No, they are waiting for the.
Yeah. No, you are.
Yes.
Oh, it's here. Right.
Hare Krishna. Should we start?
Yeah.
Okay. So today we will be covering second canto, first chapter, verses 16 to 21. Hare Krishna. So today we will be covering second canto, first chapter, 16 to 21, and the title for this is Preparing for Better Next Life. So when Vedanarayana Prabhu ended, Sukadeva Goswami was telling Parikshit Maharaj about, you know, how to start preparing for next life, like, you know, detach yourself from all your these things and start to go to forest and meditate. So that is the sequence we are going to cover today. So we'll do the invocation verses. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim saratsvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayet. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki.
You will do 40 minutes already?
Yeah.
Okay. And after that, there is a 15-minute this thing, right? So last time we discussed very less. I think just encourage people at least 15 minutes question answers we should try to do. Not that there are no question answers.
Or we can share what people can share what they have done.
Yeah, something. 15 minutes, let's discuss. Let's not just leave.
Okay.
10:15.
So preparing for a better next life, leaving and also leaving home in renunciation. So the section outline, it's verse number 16, talks about how to leave home in renunciation, and text number 17 talks about what the process of mind control. Actually, all of them focus on helping impersonalist. Actually, but then Prabhupada was so kind. In all the purports, he tells us practically how devotees also can do this. So we'll emphasize more on that aspect, so practically we can see how to apply. And text number 18, how to fix one's mind on Lord's service. 19, what is the ultimate goal of meditation? 20th is raising above the lower modes. And 21 is pantheism to devotional service. So eventually, like starting with leaving home, the impersonalist can lead up to devotional service. So that's the whole sequence in this section. Text number 16. Grihat pravrajito dira punyatita jalapluta suchau tau hukasino vidivat kalpitasane. One should leave home and practice self-control. In a sacred place, he should bathe regularly and sit down in a lonely place duly sanctified. So here, Sukadeva Goswami is saying, like, you know, you should immediately, at a certain age, when all the duties are done, we should leave home and go to a sacred place and practice self-control and, you know, practice the yoga process, which is going to come later on. So some of the points from Prabhupada's purport, Prabhupada talks again about getting out of one's so-called home. So practically for us, especially Sanatana Dharma, it says that at the age of 50, as early as the age of 50, one should practice vanaprastha ashrama with retirement. So this is also, even though for us so much so much benefit is given in the sense of yukta vairagya, where while living at home also we can become Krishna conscious, but still this principle is also practically applicable for us. Prabhupada also demonstrated that at a certain age he left home and also he took sannyas. And also, like, we have an incident where Gopal Krishna Maharaj was telling Rasichandra Prabhu's parents. So they had their grandchildren also, right? So they wanted to, you know, stay with them and, you know, encourage them in Krishna consciousness. Then Maharaj said, now you're elderly, you finish your duties, you go to Vrindavan, settle there and focus completely on Krishna. Then they followed that instruction and then now they are doing amazing preaching in Delhi. So that is for us also, actually, when we shared with Radhakrishna Prabhu, we were recently Prabhu came, right? We were just talking. Prabhu said, yeah, you just bring up your kids, get them settled, and then you both go and preach. Like that he was giving blessing. So I was thinking, like, we don't think so far, like, you know, but we should have a roadmap how to gradually finish up with our duties and eventually, hopefully, fully focus on serving Krishna. And Prabhupada says the way the people retire now is they take shelter of the holy places. Like Vrindavan especially, he said ISKCON is built centers so that retired people can come, take shelter and fully dedicate on Krishna. But the problem with that, Prabhupada is guarding us that we should be not self-complacent. So here self-complacent means people, they leave home, but they go to Vrindavan and start a new home with illicit connection. So that should not be the case. So essential principle is we are practicing celibacy. So even then, even now, when we are at home also, it works. At the same time, when you go to Vrindavan also or any other holy place also, it should work if we practice celibacy. So that's the main point for this. And then he compares modern civilization, how they view retirement, where actually after retirement, the comfortable life starts. That's how, you know, like we plan for retirement. After that, you know, I go to Hawaii or stay in a place, or so many dreams we have, so that all the hard work I'm going to reap after retirement. But the problem, the consequence with that is because of the bodily conception, death forces us to take up another body. And especially Prabhupada said, mostly it's lower species because of the sinful life there and also misusing the human life. So there is a great risk if we neglect our duties after retirement. So one section from Srila Prabhupada's purport: in order to be saved from the danger of spoiling the human form of life and being attached to unreal things, one must take warning of death at the age of 50, if not earlier. The principle is that one should take it for granted that the death warning is already there, even prior to the attainment of 50 years of age. And thus, at any stage of life, one should prepare himself for the better next life. So here Prabhupada is guiding us not just wait for 50 years and then, oh, okay, now I have to retire. But we have to prepare all the way because we know the warning of death is always there. So some practical application we thought about is how to be prepared at any moment. So there is one nice incident. Many of you might have known Madhava Das Prabhu, is a very good singer. Right? He kirtaniya, he does in many kirtans. So once he was doing kirtan and same tune he was chanting all throughout the 3 hours or 2 hours. Same tune, closed his eyes with absorption, same tune. Then Bibi Govinda Maharaj was there in the kirtan. He also appreciates religious kirtan so much. So after that he was talking with Madhav Prabhu. He was saying, what were you thinking when you were doing that? When we were chanting like this. Then he said, I'm thinking this is probably my last mantra I'm going to chant. So I'm investing all my consciousness, all my devotion in that mantra. So that's how it is, like that sincere absorption that, you know, this is probably the last mantra I could ever chant. And perhaps for us, this is probably, you know, last day we could ever serve Krishna and devotees. So that way, at least, you know, if we meditate on this little bit, we can be prepared every moment. And the other one is with respect to family, you know, practice detached caring. So this we have seen many incidents. One devotee, he had a new car and he was going and somehow he got stuck in the railway tracks. And then opposite side, the train was coming. Then he was thinking, okay, maybe I could try to, you know, get out of this place. So he was still trying until last minute. And then somehow train came and hit him. So then immediately he started chanting Hare Krishna, but last minute he survived to tell this story. So he said he started chanting Hare Krishna, but last minute he thought, oh, what will happen to my wife and children? So then he understood, I am not ready yet to leave. So, but then instead of, you know, last minute thinking that, you know, I'm not ready, how we can gradually, as we go along with our family, especially we are so fortunate that they are devotees, so we can have affection also towards them. It's not that, you know, we cannot have. So we have affection, but at the same time, we know that Krishna is the ultimate maintainer. So we should somehow practice detached caring. It's all like, you know, principles for me too, but we are just discussing in this context so that, you know, how can we be prepared at any moment. And the other point is, sometimes we always see, right, there are good times and bad times. Health is good, health is bad. Or, you know, some incident happens or reversal happens or job situation, things like that. So, in those cases, Rompad Maharaj says, like, you know, we have to draw strength from sadhana during our good times. So, good times, we should not be, you know, complacent saying, oh, everything is rosy now. I can, you know, neglect my chanting or not be so attentive. But rather, we should invest in the good times so that it will be useful for when the things are worse. Text number 17. Abhyasen manasa shuddham trivrat brahmaksharam param manoyaches chito swasa brahma vigicham avishmaran. After sitting in the above manner, make the mind remember the three transcendental letters Om, and by regulating the breathing process, control the mind so as not to forget the transcendental seat. So as we discussed, it's all essentially the process mainly for the impersonalist. So here he has to meditate on the Om word, and by following this mechanical breathing process, he has to control the mind. So some description of Omkara Srila Prabhupada gives, like, it's a seed of transcendental realization, and it has all these three letters, A, U, M, Om, are transcendental letters. And it's a seed of transcendental sound. So it's an impersonal form of Hare Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantra. Or the impersonal representation of this personality of Godhead. And Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna says, I am Om, right? 9.17. So it's a direct representation of Krishna. And Prabhupada also says, this Omkara also means, O my Lord. But still, you know, we can see that it's not like, O my Lord Krishna. So it's little impersonal. So some description just to get the definition. And the process which is recommended here is chant Omkara within the mind plus do the breathing process. Then Prabhupada describes this as transcendental but mechanical process. Because, you know, we have to withdraw the sense and regulate the breathing process and chant and all those things. So who is it for? It's mainly for people who cannot directly chant the holy name of the Lord. So many people, they cannot directly appreciate the personal form of the Lord, especially impersonalists. But what process do devotees follow? They fix their minds on the Supreme and they chant the holy name directly. So that's the practical thing for us. So some section from Srila Prabhupada purport. As we have several times expressed, since the transcendental name, form, attributes, pastimes, etc. of the personality of Godhead are impossible to understand with the present material senses, it is necessary that through the mind, the center of essential activities, such transcendental realization be set into motion. So essentially he is saying through mind we start this meditation, so all these things can happen. The devotees directly fix their minds on the person of the Absolute Truth. But one who is unable to accommodate such personal features of the Absolute is disciplined in impersonality to train the mind to make further progress. So that's what this verse covers. So practical application for us is, how do we fix our mind while doing the essential yogic process of meditation, which is chanting. So we heard so many classes, discourses, everything, but here we can briefly again reflect on this because it's coming as a theme. So somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, how do I chant with full attention? And Prabhupada said, just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. So while we chant, we just have to try to hear ourselves chanting. So that hearing is focusing on Krishna. That hearing helps the mind focus on the holy name, which is non-different from Krishna. And then Arjuna says, right, in Bhagavad Gita, that this Krishna, you're recommending after the yoga process, you're recommending this yoga process, but it's so, mind is so difficult to control, as if it's a raging wind. How do I do this? Krishna says, yes, what you're saying is right. I'm not disagreeing with that. But it's possible with constant practice and detachment. So same thing applies for us also. When the mind wanders, we have to practice to bring it back. And this time Radhakrishna Prabhu gave a tip to us. Like, whenever mind is agitated, just, you know, ask for forgiveness from the holy name. And then take a moment and then again start the chanting. And detachment also. Because mind wanders because of attachment to material things. Right? That's and also you know, achievements and positions, all those things. So gradually as we practice detachment, it will help eventually focus the mind on the holy name. And some of the practical tips Rompad Maharaj gives during Japa retreat is chant one mantra at a time. Like, you know, I'm just doing this mantra. I'm not thinking about next mantra or previous mantra. And also being present. So this helps a lot. Like, especially for me, I try to practice this so much. It's very easy, like, to start planning for the day, you know. Today I have these projects to do, or especially now for us, okay, I have to buy so many these things for kids, or they will come like this, or so it can go forever in future and, you know, start doing things. So and then I remind myself, okay, first I should just be present. Now I have to chant the holy name right now. Then what happens is, if we at least try that 16 rounds, if we chant like that, we see that the whole day we are being present. Of course, we have to plan little bit. No, it's not that, you know, we are very this thing that we don't do anything and suddenly we end up in some situation. But things happen very nicely if at all during chanting we are present. If chanting we plan things, then while planning we will not do that also properly. So text number 18. Niyachet vishaye byokshan manasa buddhi sarati mana karma birakshiptam subharte darayadhya. Gradually, as the mind becomes progressively spiritualized, withdraw it from sense activities, and by intelligence the senses will be controlled. The mind too absorbed in material activities can be engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead and become fixed in full transcendental consciousness. So here, if you see, Sukadeva Goswami is recommending two-fold approach. First is, you know, do through mechanical process, withdraw it from sense activities, which is like one step in the pranayama, right? I don't know exactly. Dharana, withdrawing is pratyahara. So pratyahara, that is recommended here. But then later on he says, but still, you know, because mind is absorbed, you actually fix on personality of Godhead. That is more practical approach. So Prabhupada emphasizes on that for us. So fixing the mind on Lord's service. So here Vishwamitra Muni and Menaka is given as an example, where if we mechanically try to control the mind, it's always going to be agitated at some point because we are on our own strength, right? So Vishwamitra Muni, even though he was such a such a perfectionist in yoga, he was agitated with Menaka when she approached. And the main point Prabhupada says is that mind remembers past sensual activities. Even though now we are able to control, let's say, now we may see, oh, I'm not doing so many nonsense things. No, I am so clean. But the problem is, mind has the storehouse of all the past activities. So it can trigger at any time. So that's the whole problem. So, but then the assured process is fixing the mind in Lord's service. That's also given in 6.47. Yoginam, that's the greatest yogi Krishna calls. Yoginam api sarvesham. And the example is Haridas Thakur. How when Mayadevi herself came, Haridas Thakur was not agitated, but rather he was able to change her into a devotee. So that's the strength of controlling the mind by engaging in Lord's service. But the another thing is, it should be under proper guidance, and Prabhupada says the surest path for progress. So the mind, although ceasing to think of sensual activities at present, remembers past sensual activities from the subconscious status and thus disturbs one from 100% engagement in self-realization. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami recommends the next step of assured policy, namely to fix one's mind in the service of the personality of Godhead. So if we always fix on service of the personality of Godhead, even if past things trigger us, we will be insulated, because we will want to always serve the Lord. So some of the practical application here is, every moment try to be engaged in Lord's service. So essentially, I this is my one of my practical incidents. Sometimes I get bad dreams about what things, I can reflect what bad habits I did or what bad things. So when I wake up and it's so clear, the dream, it's like I am experiencing it, and I get up very frightened, and immediately I'll be praying, somehow Lord, this life you brought me to your lotus feet, and I did so many nonsense things even in this life, but at least this life let me engage in your service. That's the only prayer. So actually I was listening to one of Prabhupada's lecture, and he was saying service to the Lord is not an ordinary thing. It's a highest position. But now, you know, here we get it so easily, service to the Lord. Sometimes we may think we want to run away and, you know, do other things. But if you reflect on it, it's such a protection. So getting service to the Lord. Otherwise, we are entrapped in Maya. Because we can't be, we can either be in Maya or in Krishna service. We can't be, there is no middle ground. So if we are getting away from service, we could be doing some other moderate type of service, like, you know, taking care of family, or those are also services we cannot neglect. But if we consciously reflect, introspect and see, you know, if we are avoiding service, means what? Is it for, you know, engaging in some other sense gratificatory activity? Then we should be careful, like, because we will be, because these sensual activities are going to come up and bite us later on. Now we may see, oh, I got away with doing this, nobody watched, right? But then it's there, if we have the impressions, it's going to come back. So we should realize that somehow we have come here, so we should try to be in the protected state always. And the another point is consciously avoid non-Krishna conscious engagements. So this is from the mail Nityagauranga Prabhu forwarded about movies, where Shivaram Maharaj was saying, right? It was so drastic. It's like he explained so elaborately how, you know, it can affect material desires and give the seeds of material desires. It was so... when we read this, we feel, you know, how scientific it is. We hear that, okay, don't go to movies, don't watch movies. But after reading that, we feel like, oh wow, I should save myself from this engagement. Text number 19. Tatraikavayam dhaya yanduchinena chetasa mano nirvai prasidati. Thereafter, you should meditate upon the limbs of Vishnu, one after the other, without being deviated from the conception of the complete body. Thus, the mind becomes free from all sense objects. There should be no other thing to be thought upon. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is the ultimate truth, the mind becomes completely reconciled in Him only. So here the next step in the yoga process is to meditate on the limbs of the Lord without... getting deviated from the conception of the complete body. Like in the sense, we just focus on feet, then we think that feet is all in all. But we know there is a person. So that's the point. So significance of this verse is that it says actually meditation on the personal form of the Lord is the final stage, the ultimate goal of meditation. So even though it starts with breathing process, all those things, and om, everything, ultimately it has to come to meditation, the personal form of the Lord. That's the final goal. And it also says that Supreme Lord is not impersonal, because there are his form, aspects of his form where somebody can meditate. And because meditation on his form gives us transcendental realization, his body is different from ours. Our body is made of material elements, and we are forced to take the birth in this body, but Lord's body is completely transcendental. And it also says that temple worship is not idol worship, because the Lord, by His omnipotency, He invested all His potencies in the deity form. So that the meditation of the deity form of the Lord is also recommended in the same way. So this is actually more practical meditation of the limbs of the Lord in the temple. And then Prabhupada emphasizes Omkara and the forms of Vishnu in the temple are non-different. Even though some people may find it as a different. And he says again, like similar to 12.5, where impersonal meditation is discouraged when compared to following the devotional service. So this meditation on the limbs of the Lord is much easier meditation than meditation on the impersonal Omkara. Right? Impersonal Omkara, we don't get any feedback, but when we see the Lord, we get lot of pleasure. Therefore, a neophyte's concentration or meditation upon the limbs of Vishnu in the temple as contemplated in the revealed scriptures is an easy opportunity for meditation for persons who are unable to sit down tightly at one place and then concentrate upon Pranava Omkara or the limbs of the body of Vishnu as recommended herein by Sukadeva Goswami, the great authority. Oh, it's a long sentence. The common man can benefit more by meditating on the form of the Vishnu in the temple than on the Omkara, the spiritual combination of Om, as explained before. So, we all know that this impersonal process is very difficult to follow. But whereas we are given this practical personal process which has much more benefit. So some practical application for us is meditating on the Lord in the temple. So Radha Krishna Prabhu always tells us like we should remember the lotus feet of the Lord at least twice. First, when we wake up, we pay obeisances and we have to remember the form of the Lord, lotus feet of the Lord. And before going to sleep, we pay obeisances to our spiritual master and also remember the deities. And Prabhupada said, if you are within 5 miles of radius within the temple, temple deities should be considered your primary deities. You may have deities at home, but the worship should be like little bit moderate in such a way that you can focus more on serving the temple deity. Then Harivilas Prabhu in the recent lecture he was telling, local temple deities are special. We may say, you know, oh, I can move from Seattle to, you know, different place. Everywhere there are deities, right? All we want is meditate on the deities. So, you know, I can go anywhere. There are now ISKCON temples everywhere. So, I can be, the deities are same. But then somebody gave an example, like, you know, there are so many parents. Why you want to send money to your own parents? Right? There are so many parents everywhere. Because the parents have nurtured us and have brought us where we are. So, similarly, the local temple deities have seen us grow and they helped us by giving so many services and nourishment. So, our local temple deities are very special. So, we cannot ever say, this I can easily reflect when Jayasubhadra Mataji came first time, right? She was so attached to Radha Neelamadhav there, like, you know, she couldn't, I couldn't understand, her advancement is so much, like, and she was telling, oh, I miss my deities, all those things. And now here, from here, she was going now much closer to Radha Neelamadhav there, and I was telling her.
Can anyone watch in the classes going, because we have booked this room for our class?
It's like, what time?
What time your class is your class?
11 to 12.
Or another room? Sir? Okay. So, and when from here, if she had to go to more nearer to Radha Neelamadhav, again she was feeling sad. You know, now I have developed relationship with Radha Neelamadhav, Seattle. I can't miss them also. So I was like, oh, very nice. Okay, text number 20, last but one verse. Rajastamo bhyam akshiptam vimudham manatmana yache dharanaya diro hanti yayat kritam malam. One's mind is always agitated by the passionate mode of material nature and bewildered by the ignorant mode of nature. But one can rectify such conceptions by the relation of Vishnu and thus become pacified by cleansing the dirty things created by them. So here, Sukadev Goswami is giving us a solution how to get out of the lower modes. The solution is to relate everything to Krishna. So this is where the pantheism concept comes. This is mostly for impersonalists also. So how, when he sees the objects in the world, he should somehow see Lord Vishnu there. Then slowly he can get out of this passion and ignorance. So these images have changed later on. So these are old images, but so passion is for the monkey, that's what we thought. Persons influenced by passion and ignorance, Prabhupada says they are not actually bona fide candidates for God realization. So minimum, Prabhupada says, in order to achieve transcendental realization, minimum we should come to mode of goodness. And Prabhupada said, ISKCON has created a system where we can uplift people from passion and ignorance to mode of goodness. That's how most of us are, right? We have been doing, at least I have been doing so many sinful activities, but somehow, you know, we are gradually getting purified. And the symptoms of passion and ignorance is excessive attachment for women and wealth. And Prabhupada said, generally, impersonalists and monists are in this category. So what do these people do? They think themselves liberated souls, but actually they are impure in heart because they don't have knowledge of the personality of Godhead. So it's very strange to see the definition. Prabhupada is calling, they don't have any appreciation for the personal form of the Lord. That's why he is calling them impure in heart. Generally we think it's of some external contamination, right? But said just because they are not attracted to the personal form of the Lord, Prabhupada is saying they are impure in heart. And these impersonalists, after many, many births, they surrender to the personality of Godhead. So, Bahunam Janmanamante, 7.19. The solution is recommended herein is constant remembrance of Vishnu in the impersonal form, especially for the impersonalists who cannot appreciate the personal form. And the concept of pantheism, where you relate everything in the world with the Lord. And the next graduate, and Prabhupada also gives now the solution from this immature pantheism to mature pantheism. So immature pantheism is to see everything as, you know, Lord's aspect in everything. Okay, sun is God, or, you know, tree is God, or whatever, just like that. But mature pantheism is to engage those things in Lord's service. So Prabhupada said only pure devotee is expert in doing this. So that becomes, you know, that's how impersonalists who start with immature pantheism gradually come to devotional service.
Yeah, good.
Thank you, Prabhu. Pantheism in its higher status does not permit the student to form an impersonal conception of absolute truth. But it extends the concept of the absolute truth into the field of so-called material energy. So that's the definition of pantheism. So it brings the Lord into the field of material energy, but doesn't make the Lord impersonal. Everything created by material energy can be dovetailed with the absolute by the attitude of service, which is essential part of the living energy. The pure devotee of the Lord knows the art of converting everything into its spiritual existence by this service attitude. And only in that devotional way can the theory of pantheism be perfected. So this is the mature pantheism, where a devotee is using everything in the service of the Lord. So that's how we are not only knowing that this is aspect of the Lord, but we are also engaging in Lord's service. Then that becomes mature pantheism, or actually devotional service. The last verse. Yasyam sandharyamanayam yogino bhakti lakshana ashu sampadyate yoga ashrayam badram ikshata. O king, by the system of remembrance and by being fixed in the habit of seeing the all good personal conception of the Lord, one can very soon attain devotional service to the Lord under his direct shelter. Yeah, so that's what it's leading to. This pantheism concept eventually leading to devotional service, by fixing it in on serving the Lord. So pantheism to devotional service. This is very short purport there, so I just put some section there. The devotional atmosphere created by pantheistic vision develops into devotional service in later days, especially by the trigger of the pure devotee. If guided by a devotee, he can tell us how we can use it as a devotional service, and that is the only benefit for the impersonalist. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 12.5 that the impersonal way of self-realization is more troublesome because it reaches the goal in an indirect way. Although the impersonalist also becomes obsessed with the personal feature of the Lord after a long time. That is Bahunam Janmanamante. After a long time, eventually impersonalist has to come to devotional service, because that's the practical way we can go to spiritual world. Otherwise, even if he reaches Brahman, he has to come back again, because there is no activity there. So the devotee can help this from bringing from pantheism to devotional service. So some of the take home points we discussed in some of the early verses. How to be prepared at any moment to, you know, for the next life, and fix the mind on Krishna while chanting. And how every moment we can try to be engaged in Lord's service, or at least pray, Lord, please let me engage in your service every moment. And meditation on the Lord in the temple. Thank you very much. All do Rishi Shilpa.
Jai. Jai.